In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost, I shall read the chapter to the Romans, chapter 10, from verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all of them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. In the morning, when the opening ceremony was on, I listened with great interest to this sermon. I thought of many things. I will only take one matter forth here. I must say this. After the mid-1980s, in the area of Pirkanmaa, we were arranging the summer services there. And the first matter was, would there be enough large field where the services could be arranged? So we went from the town manager of Lempäälä, who's already passed on, that we would like to arrange these services within a few years. The town manager was going to take this matter into consideration. At that time, they did not know the believing people. They could not make a decision soon. And they came. We cannot make a decision. And they had some ideas about us. The town manager said, I will call Ranua. I will call the town manager. He knows much more about this matter. He had called. Imagine what the person of the town manager from Ranua had said to the Lempäälä town manager. He had said it in this way. If we want services here, we always take them when they are asked. You can take them too. It is such a great celebration for the whole region. We always take them. So they arranged the service at the airport in Jämijärvi in 1991. And so many years have gone by. And now they're at the airport in Pudasjärvi. That's what came to my mind when I listened to the opening services. During the past week, when we discussed in the children's families, can we go to summer services in Pudasjärvi? These matters came up. A little boy had been baptized, and it was sort of difficult to leave. The twins were quite small, and it wouldn't be easy to go. Somebody had work, and many issues came up. And we finally decided, there is no law. It is not for our salvation that we must go to every summer service and bigger services, no. We said, we can believe at home. We can believe as we are. Imagine what a little girl said. She said immediately, surely it is so. We could see many friends of the heart. friends of the heart. Here we spoke of the faith of the heart. She spoke of the friends of the heart. I also thought, when we talk about the heart, I have sometimes said to the little boys, bring wood into the sauna so that we can heat up the sauna in the evening. It sounds like they don't hear anything. Can you take it as a matter of heart and bring the wood? We can't heat up the stove without wood. Take it as a matter of heart. They would certainly wonder, is it a matter of the heart, firewood? This confession, this statement that we can read here, it says, my. This faith of the heart means, and these matters of the heart and matter friends of the heart are personal. The faith of the heart means that it is a matter of faith, not the families, not the neighbors, not the villages, not the families, not SRKs. It is a personal issue. It says much. The faith of the heart, we are saved. Sometimes we hear said, when the old conservative Lestadians stay with a personal faith, we are saved. Someone may say, I have been a believer since childhood. I haven't been a member of your association, but of others. And I think, and they can state, isn't everyone saved through their own faith? What do you say about this? Is everyone saved through their own faith? And the answer is yes and no. If the true faith is according to the Bible, as we have heard yesterday and today, if your faith is based on this, your personal faith is unto salvation. If the foundation is wrong, you will not be saved in wrong way. That's the difference. Not on accident. Some say, in a dish, that you are judging. You have a judging spirit. You don't want anyone else except yourselves and a few others, and that's it. What kind of judgment is this? If someone has fallen from the way and we are trying to guide them, and we want to bring them that are bringing on to eternal life, is this, what kind of judgment is this? Isn't this the spirit of love? Turn and return. Turn and come back. Jesus said in this way, go in through the straight gate. The gate is wide and the road is open and wide that brings into damnation. Many go therein, but the way is narrow and the road is narrow that bring on to life, and few that find it. This is what Jesus taught us. We can say, we can be members of the rare few when we want to encourage endeavor in faith, as bad ones unto saints and unto sinners, as sinners unto righteousness. We do have a good kingdom, and it is worthwhile to endeavor in this kingdom. I have sometimes said that of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus says of that wide, broad way, many people go there. When we ask, how do they get onto the wide way? He goes from the living way. Imagine all small children, and we see here many cannot even walk yet. And do even all of them have a name? A small child, when they are born here upon the earth, they are born as believers. The Bible confesses this in many places, in the Old Covenant, New Old Testament, and New Testament. Are they believers that are born abroad? Yes, they are. If they are born in an unbelieving home, are they believers? Yes, they are. God creates everyone in His own image, and they are all born as the children of God. There is much talk, and there has been talk in the church. Is that baby a believer or not? Many people think that a person is saved only through baptism. As a believer, we say that grace covenant of baptism is an important union. For what reason? It is the union of good conscience which commits us to when sin attaches under children and young and elders and even under us grandfathers, that we can put sin as sin away. It is always God's commitment is always firm. This is the most important union. There are many good unions. This is very important, that we would preserve a good conscience, that we'd be protected upon the way. It is a good union. Children are believers. Jesus said in His time to His disciples, "Let the children to come unto Me, and to not prevent them, for such is the kingdom of God." And when I read that, I think of two matters. One matter is this: let the children come unto Me. Do not prevent them. Let children be born. Take children as gifts of God. Do not prevent them. Do not regulate your family. Do not hinder God's creation work. I have lived through that time. It is such a matter. We have to imprison our mind. Listen. When little children are born in our homes, that is when God blesses you. It blesses you in many ways. I have looked at you, families with children. It is joy at great. They have joy and happiness, and they run with their friends, and sometimes they come into the tent to sing. It is such a precious matter. Father and mother, even though they are weak, their work of life is not lost when they bring their children to services. There is much work at the cabin and the camper. There should be. We must set the borders when they must come in. Jesus did not say, let the children come and make as much noise as much possible. The father and mother and father say, listen to the sermons and let the people be at peace and let the preacher speak. This is how the Son of God taught. There are for sure over 10,000 children. There is peace and love here. You hear my sermon, you hear it well. There is no noise here. You have said to your children to sit nicely and listen. Faith cometh by hearing. And you have seen, and you have brought your little ones to services. It is so. If you do not bring little children to services, when they grow up, they cannot go there by themselves. If you always leave the children at home, I remember my own life. When we went to services, on the previous evening, I started to say, should we go to services at 4? They didn't fight against it. They said, sure, it is okay. If it would have been a quarter till, get your clothes on, let's go, it would be much more difficult. Somebody said, yes, must I? And I would say, sure, we are going now. Everyone has said afterwards, even though it felt that we were forced, on the way back, it was a happy and joyful time. We were able to see our friends of the heart, brothers and sisters, and we could hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. The preacher could have said to the little ones, to uplift your hearts, to believe your sins forgiven. In the name and the blood of the Good Shepherd, the friend of the children. The children's mind lives when he can hear the gospel. This also includes the faith of the heart. It includes many matters. Jesus said, as we heard through the dear brother earlier, that we probably heard it also yesterday. When I heard the sermons, I thought that almost everything has already been said at these 2 days. And it is so, possibly. If we watch out for this, the sermon will be difficult. If every matter is new, we surely repeat the Word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to be acceptable unto God. We need faith in our heart, the true faith. One shepherd, one sheepfold where we are. There is one shepherd that guides us. There are some matters here where we speak of righteousness and that confession of the mouth and salvation. A few words about this during this sermon here. I tried to look from the dictionary what it said about righteousness. In our current book, when I traveled during work, the word righteousness doesn't appear in the modern dictionary or in the modern day work. In our home, in my childhood, the older people would say, when they had road commission meetings and farmers meetings, after the meeting they could say, the righteous made decisions there. What did this mean? Of a right mind. Just and true decisions they made. We don't hear this anymore. That word righteousness in the modern Finnish dictionary cannot be found. It does contain justice, unity, God's mind, mercifulness. It depends what issue we are talking about. God is righteous, one-minded. And when we, as simple people, own righteousness, we are acceptable to God. It is a big, broad word, righteousness. A few parts of this word righteousness, one familiar word I can ask you. What comes to your mind when I speak of the gift of righteousness? What is this gift righteousness? You know that if this was a Bible class, somebody would raise their hand and say, it is that righteousness by his own Son which is given unto you and me. Perfect righteousness. God in his Son made this gift righteousness for people. The Bible says God, his Son, is atonement not only for us here, for the people in Pudasjärvi, but for all people of the world. For all people. has people been created for? Damnation. Damnation is for the devil and his angels, not for people. Damnation is not for people. God wants all people to have salvation. All the children and brothers of believing homes that have gone upon the broad way for sins and temptations, there are those. It is familiar matter for many of us. God would want this summer the services that we hear today. We want to call and invite those with love under repentance. That is His gift of righteousness. What does repentance mean? If we go and ask around, somebody may say, it means that, you know, like in our village, it said that we should live like people. Much said. We should avoid bad and do good. And if we have done something wrong, if we have stolen something, we bring the stuff back where we got it from. That would be repentance. That is a repentance of life. But according to the Bible, repentance in confirmation, we learned something like this. Repentance is nothing more. Fear and trembling for our own sin, not our neighbors, but our own. And believing that our sins are forgiven, that in the gospel, and peace with God. This is repentance. We cannot understand it with our mind. If we see a person who has done all the sin possible, this person believes, and if we say that believe all your sins forgiven and unbelief and all the false fruits, believe all your sins forgiven, he can get to heaven. This is what happened to the thief on the cross. He didn't have time to repair anything. He could only ask. And he was preached, I remember, many decades ago. When I was speaking with my mother, who's now over 92 years old. He lives in Sikayoki, in a care center, who cannot live alone. Decades ago, we visited a sick bed near a weak traveler, exchanged a few words. My mother asked this person, wouldn't you want to believe your sins forgiven like your mother and father believed? Can you imagine what this old bedridden person said? Oh, I would want to. I have waited if I could believe. We preached him the sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood unto peace, freedom, and joy. What did he ask then? He tried to get up out of bed. What must I do now? She asked. What did mother say then? You don't have to do anything. The Son of God did everything. You can own the gift of salvation, the gift of righteousness. And with this faith, you can get to heaven. And it wasn't many days when this person was taken into the bosom of Abraham. This could not carry the bed. Many have carried the bed. The grace of God starts to teach that we would live clean lives, and if some matters come to the conscience, they are cared for. That means carrying the sick bed. The gift of salvation, gift righteousness, is offered not only for those people here at the services and in the tent, but somebody listening to the radio and on the internet. There the word, the good voice of the shepherd, the gift righteousness is offered. Another matter. One matter is the gift of righteousness. And there's the faith and the gift of faith. And the faith righteousness. And with this, we own the gift of righteousness. With the gift righteousness, we own it through Jesus. When the final services arise, in the book of Revelations, we hear of the second coming. I will remind you a little bit. It says it in this way. John, who saw, I saw a white throne, and there sat. The earth and heavens escaped, and there was no room for them. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before God. And then, the children of God, important point for you. The books were opened. That book, second book, which is life. The dead were judged, that who were done by their works. There, God wants to see from those books if there is that person. God wants to see if there's any one without any crimes. If there is such a person, he can get there. But there will not be. Even the best person, even if he does his job well and would be clean at home, he cannot imprison his mind. They are sinful and filthy. There is not such a skillful traveler that there is some bad thought about the spouse. No, there isn't. About the workmate, about society, about a doctor. There is something to say. We are so corrupt. A little later it is said, all those that were not found in the book of life, what happened to them? They were thrown into a fiery lake, the living book. It is a very important matter. If somebody doubts this, who hasn't read the Bible, the name must be put there in this time of grace. In another place it is said in this way, about the second coming of Jesus, when the people are put in two groups, the believers and the unbelievers. There are not 10 flocks. For those in the white gowns, come the blessed of my Father. It doesn't say, come to be blessed by the Father. Come thee, thy blessed. Those who were blessed here in this time, it is in this time of grace. The blessings must be done here in this time, and the name must be recorded in this time. It was good to listen to the services here yesterday when the safe and secure doctrine of salvation was proclaimed here and at the opening ceremonies. The common and the secure. This is how we will get to heaven. Holding on to the salvation and holding on to the righteousness. And the third matter that comes up about righteousness. The salvation or the righteousness of life. Life. With this I mean, I know many people, and I'm sure you know, who live a good life here. They do their jobs well, they take care of their family, and they bring their kids to school, and they arrange work for others. They are diligent from morning till evening. No, nothing notable. That if we put these by works, if you gain your salvation by merits, they would go ahead of me. And if I know them, and they don't want to gain salvation with these jobs. They live as people just as they are. Their life is good. God blesses this current life to a honest person. Then we say, is this wrong? Sometimes we hear, it is like a filthy cloth. I would say it in this way. We do not do too much good. No. We should do more. When we listen to the radio and we read the newspapers, they fight against each other. It is difficult. It isn't good. It isn't a bad thing if we would do more good for the ill and for the elders. Then the filthy cloth comes forth, this of righteousness, the self-righteous one. There are those who try to earn salvation with their own works. There are many of those that is said. It is like a filthy cloth garment, filthy garment before God, because God prepared salvation through Jesus. And now if we put our own merits, this is like a filthy garment before God, because there is something bad therein. I remember the old preachers who in my home village said, when they spoke about the self-righteous ones, great sins bring to damnation, but the little ones will not prevent you from damnation. If we want to fulfill the law, it demands perfection. Self-righteousness, this matter should be open. We cannot go there of our own strength. You gain salvation only through grace and mercy. It is a gift from God, not of merits, so that no one would brag about it. This is the word of God, boasting. When we, children of God, think of this, oh, how weak I have been. When I think of you mothers and fathers of this time, in your upbringing and parenting, there are many you know better than I do. There, the patience of the mother and the father is asked, the wisdom, how to work then, so that the children of God would be protected. The children would be protected as children of God, so that they would be decent citizens. Much is required of the parents. Not much more I can say. Mothers and fathers believe themselves as bad, holy, and sinful to holiness. And we work as it is, and as God guides us. Unskilled parents try that the family does well and that the members would do well in this time, at this moment. And one more, that confession of the mouth, I have thought of this. Nowadays, many people must work and move around at school and work with unbelieving people. Why must we confess our faith? What is the reason for this? We see from the Bible, Jesus says, he that confesses me before people, I confess you before God who is in heaven. He that denies me before people, I deny him also before God who is in heaven. The confession of faith is important. When I got out of school and started to work, one believing friend, and I remember, and I will remember as long as my memory works, he said in this way, when I saw, as a young man, I went to an interview at the end of the 60s during the Depression. Workplaces were tough to get. My wife sent out applications to 9 places around Finland. 48 came back. Thank you for your interest in our company. but you were not selected. One, but one came. You can work here. The joy was great. The brother said in this way, when you go to the interview and you discuss, remember to confess your faith. It was well said. It was difficult that if they ask different things, I can't because I'm a believer. It was very well said. That confession of the mouth has such a thing. God wants to save all. How can it be if we, as children of God's kingdom, owners of righteousness, if we don't confess our faith? It is a sermon in and of itself. If we can't say, I cannot do that because it will hurt my conscience. That is a sin. I cannot take part of that. That is a strong sermon. In this way, God wants to enlighten His own will with a confession of the mouth under salvation. And salvation is the final portion here. This word has been. With salvation, we understand happiness and joy. And when we look at little children in the field, we do not happen to see the happiness and joy when it runs. Salvation, happiness, and joy is in all their faces. You gain salvation through faith. On the Sermon of the Mount, there's a special point, one point I would like to bring. Time's running out. It says in this way, I didn't understand in the beginning. Blessed are the sorrowful ones. I thought of this. What salvation? If you're sorrowful, how can you be blessed? You must read it to the end. Blessed are the sorrowful ones. Why? For they will receive comfort. What comfort? The comfort of the gospel, where it is promised to believe your sins forgiven. When the final services are approaching, where the familiar judge sits, who are these dressed in the white gown? The answer is heard. These are those who have come from great tribulation, not small, who have cleansed their clothes and whitened their clothes in the blood of the Lamb. They have come from great tribulation, and their name is in the book of life. For you who come from great tribulations, come ye blessed of my Father, and come into the kingdom that was, you believe little, much is given. Go into the joy of your Father. These services in Buddha's Yadavi are good, but those services will be much better when Jesus comes to come get us. Let us make those promises that we will not forsake this kingdom. Let us believe as we are, believing our sins forgiven. You, brother and sister, if you feel yourself that your journey has been poor, many matters worry your soul and sin presses you down. Possibly a namely sin is on your mind. Believe these and all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. Why do I bless this namely sins forgiven? This power gives power for you to tell somebody. The gospel is strength for all believers. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. Fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, young and old, Uplift your hearts to believe. All your sins forgiven. Once we will get from this land of worry, when we believe in our goodness and believe our sins forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. A little girl, you can believe all your sins forgiven. Brothers and sisters, all your sins are forgiven. That portion from the book of Revelations, I would like to say quickly. When John sends out the letters to the seven congregations, five were recommended to repent. You can read these. I can't explain all. For two, there was no had they succeeded so well? What made this? What did this? No, it wasn't. One was completely poor. And the other one was out of power. It is a characteristic of a child of God. So poor. So poor and so weak. Times will never be so bad that a person weak. The times will never be so difficult that we will. Can we make it? I would like to ask, can I remain believing all my sins forgiven? I want to believe with you. Little boys and girls, uplift your hearts to believe. All you little boys and girls in the front row, believe all your sins forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen.